my special memories of spring training up north.
Yeah, I think that's helped ruin my career in the major leagues.
Oh, it did?
Yes.
How so?
I hurt my shoulder in spring training. Mm-hmm. And I never did come back for over a year. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the only thing is I never liked training in the north at all.
I see. Was it because of the cold weather that you had the shoulder problem? Or?
Yes, I was pitching an exhibition game. There was snow on the field. Mm-hmm. And I just threw a ball and I felt it pull. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Was this in 1944 when the big blizzard came through?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the name of the man that owned the mansion? I've spoken to several people about this, but they can't remember who owned it.
No, I don't.
I understand that you lived in a mansion with several bathrooms and everyone in the big dining room.
Yeah. Just a big house, like.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything else about it?
No, all we ever did there was just go to the ballpark, work out, come in and eat. Didn't go out much at all.
Had they created a field on the grounds of the estate?
No, it was a little out of from the estate.
Oh, I see. Do you have any interesting stories about travel restrictions during the war? Was it tough for the Giant Ball Club to get Pullmans in the early years?
No, the travel was all right. The only thing, a lot of times you had to cut a baseball game short to catch a train. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to start them early or something along the way to catch them, because sometimes you'd be in St. Louis on Sunday, then you'd have to play in Polo Grounds on Tuesday, and you had to
make it.
Had to make every minute count. You would just make it.
I see. Do you have any interesting stories about food or gas rationing?
No, we never was bothered with that.
Okay. Did you live in Manhattan when you were playing with the Giants?
Yes.
I see. Do you recall where? I mean, was it in a hotel or did you have an apartment?
No, we had an apartment. Mm-hmm. All of us had an apartment.
Were you married at the time?
Yes.
I see. Any children?
And one.
I see.
One daughter.
So you would just commute by public transportation to the Polo Grounds, or did you drive?
I drove.
I see. In 1944, if I'm not mistaken, the Giants beat the Dodgers by a score of 26-8. They scored 26 runs, which I think tied a National League record at that time. Do you remember anything about that day?
No, the only thing I know is just everybody went up to hit the ball. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many got hits in that inning. But
I bet Leo DeRocher was pretty peeved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But those kind of games never hurt a ball club. They don't.
Well, they don't. They don't take the heart out of a club for a couple of weeks after.
No, I'd rather lose a game like that than lose it 1-0 or 2-1.
Oh, I see. In other words, you know you're out of it, so you just relax and play your subs.
You can just put the game in. Whereas if you're one run, you're working all the way to try to win it, and if you don't win it, you feel hurt.
I see. And you say that you hurt your shoulder in 1944 and that contributed to the end of your career. What happened after that? I know you played out the 44 season, and I think your major league record stops. Was that the end of the trail?
No,
Or did you play in 45?
No, I got suspended. I wasn't signed the next year, 45. And they suspended me for a year. And then they sold me that during that suspension to San Francisco in the Coast League.
The Seals, yeah.
Yeah, so I went to the Coast League. And I enjoyed it better out there than in the majors.
San Francisco's a nice town, right?
Yeah.
Well, how long did
they pay no more money?
Did they really?
Pay no more money, everything. The traveling was by plane, where I always, in the majors, had to travel by train. Mm-hmm. We traveled by plane, was home every Monday with your family. I really loved it out there.
Great. How long did you stay in the minors after the war?
I was San Francisco 6 years. And Kansas City 1.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's it.
I see. So you played up through, well, up into the early 50s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was Leslie O'Dule managing the Seals at the time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I left Seals 51.
You say the Giants suspended you in 45 because you wouldn't sign. Were they offering you just a trifling sum?
Yeah, well, I had a bad arm year before.
Yeah.
And they wanted to cut my salary exactly in half.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
stiff cut.
And I refused. So they just suspended me.
Mind if I ask from what figure to what figure? I mean, what was your 44 salary? And then
16,000 to 8.
I see.
Oh, they did. After my arm, after I got to San Francisco, my arm was all right. Well, I pitched against the Giants out in San Francisco, and we beat them. I beat them 1-0. And they come and they begged me to come, and they said, had two guys stay with me for 2 weeks trying to talk me into going back with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did go back, wouldn't go back. And I guess I made a mistake by not doing it.
Well, perhaps. $16,000 was a good salary in those days.
Yeah, but the only thing that I lost out on the pension.
Mm-hmm.
By not doing it.
Right. Do you wish to comment on any of the wartime Giant players? Do any stand out in your mind?
What do you mean?
Any that you remember stories about, or personality-wise, ability-wise? You had some famous men in those wartime Giant players.
I thought during that time, they were there before the war, too. Like Hartnett, Gabby Hartnett.
Mm-hmm.
And... Lon Warnicke, Lon Warnicke and Dean Brothers and Ducky Medwick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on the wartime Giants.
Yeah, and Johnny Mize, Ed Mellott, Hank Lieber, JoJo Moore.
Do you remember anything special about Lombardi? I know he had huge. Hands, fingers, that's what men have told me, that he took all the stuffing out of his mitt. He used to catch pitches with his bare hand if they were outside.
Ernie, I guess, was the most powerful hitter he'd ever hit.
Mm-hmm.
And but he runs so slow that the infielders would play back where the outfielders would on a regular guy. Then the outfield would go on back to the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And to show you how powerful he was, they'd stand out there in the outfield, the infielders, and he'd hit line shots at them, and they'd just take the webbing right out of their glove. They'd reach up to catch it, just take
really?
The webbing right out of a glove and go on. But it'd take him 10 minutes to run the first base.
Uh-huh.
Boy, he could bust that bow.
What about Gus Mancuso? He was finishing up then, and he had, I think, been a stalwart catcher in the 30s.
Yeah, he was great. I thought he was a... most perfect catcher I ever pitched to, with his catching ability and his throwing ability and all.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he was real smart. If you, he'd catch you one inning, he'd go in to catch you, he'd say, "Now you shake me off
mm-hmm.
this inning." After you, he caught you that inning, every time you'd make a pitch, you'd think of a pitch, he put that pitch down, you never had to. It looked like he just read your mind.
So in other words, he wanted to feel you out for an inning, see what you had that day, what you felt you had.
And how you was working, you see.
And then he called the game completely.
From then on, you never had to worry.
And you could trust him. I mean, he called for the right pitch at the right time.
And he could throw.
What about Harry Danning? He played up through 42. Can you contrast Lombardi, Danning, and Mancuso? Do they have different catching styles? Or?
Well, Danning wouldn't even compare.
Oh, really?
No, Danning was a better hitter. He was a better hitter than Mancuso. But he couldn't catch with Mancuso.
Oh, I see.
Lombardi could out-hit him, out-throw him, and out-do most of the thing. The only thing, Danning could outrun him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing he could beat. So I would say Mancuso. So
you would have rather pitched to Mancuso.
Yeah.
How about Clyde Klutz? He was a wartime catcher. What do you remember?
He wasn't with us in it.
I thought he was. It was for a year or two. What do you remember about Hubble in his later years? Was he getting by on his mind alone?
No.
Was the screwball still
working? I pitched with Hubb 7 years. And when I joined the club, that's when he was his great.
Yeah.
He was his greatest. And he was just the best pitcher that I think that I ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was just a rock of Gibraltar out there. You'd give him one run and you'd think he had 10. And he had good stuff. They'd talk about it and they didn't think he was as fast as he was, but he could throw hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had that screwball and he had a good curveball. The only thing Hubble never did have was a change of pace, but he had that screwball and he could use it at different speeds.
Mm-hmm. What about Schumacher?
Schumacher was a great pitcher.
What was his repertoire? Did he rely on
on smoke. He smoked sinker.
Mm-hmm.
His
fastball went down?
Yeah. Yeah. He was a good duck. And he was a fighter, too.
Mm-hmm.
He'd fight you. We had really had a pitching staff.
What do you remember about Bill Boysell? I know he was hard of hearing. I think he was a Carolina man, too.
Yeah.
Came up during the war.
He came up. I think I had the bad arm when he came up.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill, he never had the. In other words, when I first went in, he couldn't have made it. Because he didn't have the stuff.
Yeah. You mean if he had come up in the late 30s like you?
Yeah. He didn't have the stuff to. He wasn't fast enough, and he didn't have good enough curve.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to have that to make it to majors.
What did you think of Mel Ott as your manager?
I like Mel. I like him. At first, he was great, but the office put so much pressure on him, he got crabby and everything.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Now, when you say the office, you mean Stoneham?
Yeah, the old office.
Mm-hmm.
They used to tell him what to do and what not to do.
A couple of other veterans in that club were Billy Jurgis and Dick Bartel. Bartel, the infielders. Do you remember anything special about them?
Yeah. They never was together, Bartel or Jurgis, but Bartel was our shortstop when I first went up, and he was the best shortstop that I have ever seen.
Really? Why? I mean, good hands? Or?
No, he had lousy hands, but his ability to make the play and the jam was remarkable. Because he could, nothing ever shake him up. He could kick 3 balls in a row. And he'd walk into the mound and he'd rough the ball up and give it to you. Make this guy hit to me, I'll pull you out of this jam. And he'd pull you out as sure as the world if you get him and hit that ball to him.
There's a confidence builder, huh?
Yeah. he's just like a little baby rooster. You know. He'd go in there. And,
what did you think of Dolph Lucchi as a pitching coach?
Great.
Really? I understand that the curveball was especially...
he was a curveball pitcher.
And Johnny Wittig told me earlier today that he used to concentrate on curveballs. He was always talking about curves. Is this true?
Yeah.
Is this what you remember? Or?
Did Johnny tell you about him and Mel? Johnny was pitching and Mel Ott came up to the mound.
No, no, no. Tell me this. No, he didn't tell me this.
Well, we played Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I had this big guy, Norton, I believe, hitting, left-handed hitter. We have a man on first and third. And Wittig out there rubbing his ball around the mail trot all the way into from outfield into talk to Wittig. And he told Wittig, says, now don't throw this guy a curveball at all.
Mm-hmm.
Says he's going to be looking for it and he'll pull it right to the first baseman for a base hit. Pitch the ball and keep it away from him. So Mel turned around, he trots all the way back to right field. Hadn't the morning got settled, and old Johnny wound up and come in there with the biggest curveball you ever saw.
Yeah.
And the guy just did exactly what Mel said. He whacked it right by the first baseman. It cost Whittig, I think, $400.
Wow. No, he didn't tell me that. He didn't tell me that one.
Yeah,
I guess he wants to.
They find him and Lombardi both. Lombardi said, how old are you find me for?
Did he call for the curve?
Whittig said he did, but I don't know.
So you wonder who was really to blame.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Anyone else that you remember specifically from now? Here again, I know it's hard to concentrate on 42, 3, and 4, but this is what the book's about.
Yeah.
And several guys came up: Joe Arango, Sid. Yeah.